Become a Leslie's Pro member, and with almost 1,000 locations conveniently located less than 3 miles from your service route, you can quickly get in and out and take care of your customers. Get Skimmer, America's number one pool service software platform. Listeners of the podcast can try Skimmer for free. Visit my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, and click on the Leslie's Pro and the Skimmer banners to learn more. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Yeah! Hi, welcome to this week's episode of the Pool Guy Show. This is the fourth and final podcast recording of the interview that I did with the Pool Chaser podcast. In this episode, I talk more about robotic and suction side cleaners. I cover being debt-free and just about everything else that we didn't talk about in the first three parts. I kind of wrap it up here in this last part. This podcast is brought to you by InuPools.com. InuPools has been helping pool owners find the right pool parts since 2001. With over 50,000 pool parts in stock, order online today and have the parts delivered right to your door. And the podcast is also brought to you by the Riptide Vacuum System. The Riptide is a powerful vacuum system that gets large debris at the bottom of the pool rapidly. You can learn more about the Riptide Pool Vacuum System at www.riptidevac.com. Let me jump right in to the podcast, as this is the longest part of the four parts.
Welcome to your go-to podcast for the pool and spa industry. My name is Tyler Rasmussen.
And my name is Greg Villafania. And this is the Pool Chasers Podcast.
So what's the most fun video you've put together?
I really like doing underwater footage. I enjoy filming that. The most recent one that I liked was the WaterTech CX-1. It was a cordless robotic cleaner. I spent like 3 hours underwater in underwater footage of that one, and I just like getting those angles and those shots of the cleaners moving. I don't know. Maybe it's I just love the way everything looks underwater, you know. So I like getting those underwater shots. And
as long as the water's clear.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's not, and it comes out depending on what product. But I just like doing that footage. I think it's, for me, it's enjoyable to edit that underwater footage. So anything I'm filming underwater, I love doing.
That's awesome.
That is cool. I want to do more of that. I always enjoyed the underwater footage. There's like some, I don't know what you call it, some like ghetto tricks for like filming underwater that I've seen for like better cameras, where you can sync like the clear trays, like Tupperware, and you stick the camera inside of it and you just dunk it down, and then you just kind of like move around the water and you can like film everything, but you can use like a better camera and it acts as like a gimbal too. So it's not all over the place, but I was like, that's pretty cool. Cause I'm having a harder time finding oxygen, like a scuba tank or something. There's a bunch of cool ways, but I definitely like the footage underwater. Yeah. It's really cool. So what do you think is your favorite product you've reviewed? I mean, you've done a ton, and we've seen quite a few from PoolerX, and I think, did you do one on Solar Breeze as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did that one, a couple of those.
Yeah. So, you know, different things like that, that, you know, we've used, we always like to hear another opinion, but what has been your favorite one?
Yeah. So it's kind of funny. I have a couple favorite, but one of them is kind of a weird one. I like the multi-torque socket sets that Tal makes from Florida. Mm-hmm. I just love those things because they save me so much time out there in the field. And I like filming them because it's cool. You're like using the drill and pulling off the filter clamps really fast. And it's a great product. And I always love using that in my videos for him. And he's a pool guy also, and he created that product. And about 10, 12 years ago, and I think it's taking off for him now. But that's a cool little product. I like little things like that, gadget kind of things.
Tal's a really cool guy. We saw him in, I think, Florida, that show. He's a trooper, man. He's still out there servicing pools too, all doing all that.
We bought a bunch of them.
Yeah.
We brought them back home.
Yeah, we have a couple of them with our filter clean guys now.
He's really good. He's a good guy. I like unusual products too. Like I just said, the fire pump from Advantage, you hook it up to you drop it in your pool and you can put out a forest fire with it, you know. I don't know if you saw that video, but it's a portable fire pump. So that's a cool product too. And I think I like tech. So one of the coolest things I like is the Lamont Spin Touch. Mm-hmm. You could, you know, do 11 or 10 or 11, I can't remember now, water samples in 60 seconds. You just put a disc in there and it spins it. And that's actually the same exact thing they used for the blood tests in the hospitals. And they got the idea from that. He was at the hospital one time and he saw them doing a blood sample. He's like, hey, I can probably do that for the pool industry. So he made this the Spin Touch, and it's really great. The only problem is that the discs are like $250 each, so it's really it's kind of out of reach as far as an everyday test kit. But the tech behind it is so cool, you know.
Yeah, that was a cool one. I remember seeing that in Florida and Long Beach and things like that. But it didn't seem practical for bringing to every single pool, though. Yeah. I mean, the chemistry might be a little bit better, but it just seemed like it'd be rough dragging that thing to every single pool.
Yeah, it's more like for commercial accounts and for startups. I use it in my startups when I do a new pool, and it's for problem pools. And it's just kind of to show off to customers. You know, it's like, hey, look at me. I got this $1,000 test kit, man. I know what I'm doing. So yeah. It's kind of like the guys at the booth said, it's the cool factor kind of thing, you know? And it is. It's just, it's very accurate, too, because if you do comparisons, it's just it's just a very accurate kit. And but yeah, it's one of the things I like. I like the tech stuff. But yeah, I agree with you. It's not something you're going to use 90 times a week because it's just not made for that. They made it for pool stores originally, and then they got the idea that, hey, pool guys might want to have this out there too. And so now they made the mobile one, and it's caught on. They sold tons of units last year. They sold out. They're like 2 months behind now in their back order. So it's definitely being purchased. A lot of guys in my group have that kit. So anything with tech, I love robotic pool cleaners. I think I've reviewed just about everything out there, 30 or something of them. I just love anything tech-wise. I'll just film it and put it out there.
In your opinion, what do you think the robotic cleaners work best in? I mean, we have like 95%, I think, suction cleaners out here in Arizona, but I think it's difficult to just throw those in the pool. So what do you think is the best uses for those?
Yeah, I think homeowners that don't have service would be the main market for them. Midwest, they're really huge in the Midwest. They're really huge in Europe because they don't have a lot of pool service out that way. So I think that's their main market. But I love them on my route here. I throw them in pools and they keep them really clean. I use it in my pool also. So I think the drawback for the service route is that you have to rely on the customer to put it in and turn it off and take it out because you're not there to do that. And so it's not convenient because I've had customers leave them on the deck all week when they should be in the pool and the pool's dirty. So I tell my customers, hey, on the service day, make sure the robot's in there running because that helps me out a lot. I can just do the chemistry and help and do other things around the pool. I don't say it blatantly, but I don't want to be cleaning your pool when the robot can do it, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's drawbacks to the robotic cleaners for the service industry, and they have a hard time selling them to the service guys for that reason. It's much easier leaving a suction cleaner in there all week and not having to worry about the customer throwing it in. So, yeah, I think the market for that is going to be just individual purchases and pool guys that know that the customers can handle it, put it in the pool for them.
Do you think it gets used much on the commercial side of pools? We don't do much at all commercial, but...
Yeah, so that's one thing they're pushing, and I've talked to different manufacturers. That's a great way to use a robotic cleaner because you could put them in there after hours and it would clean the pool for them, but I don't think that people realize the benefit of them. I mean, if they watch my videos, they can see how clean they leave the pool because they do the best job out of all the cleaners out there. It's just that they're not convenient for the homeowner or for the pool service guy. I don't usually sell them. I only sell them to customers that I know that are going to use them correctly. So, yeah, that's my take on the robot cleaners. I think they're great, but it's just a limited market.
I definitely think they work the best. And I actually like the lines better than the hoses. It seemed like those lines have better freedom to actually run a different course because you get bad memory in, you know, suction side cleaners. Those cleaners are only going to, you know, do so much, but the robotic cleaners, those lines are much better for kind of moving around, being a little bit more mobile.
Yeah, and they're also a good sell to the people with variable speed pumps because a lot of them don't want to run their pool on high to get that suction cleaner working 6 hours a day. So I have a couple on my route at variable speed pumps that I sold them to the customer because they can save more electricity this way. That's a good angle to sell them too. But again, the convenience factor of having a cleaner in all week, you can't beat a suction side cleaner.
How well have you seen the robotic cleaners do, like, after, I don't know, you get a pool that's tore up and needs a storm cleanup or something, and say you just maybe want to drop it in there and go service your route and come back so that you can, you know, brush it down and do what you got to do. Do they do very well with, you know, tons of stuff in the pool?
They're okay with that. I think that's not probably what they're made for. I know that, I don't know if you've seen the PowerVac robot. Did you see that one?
PowerVac?
Yeah, the PowerVac. He created a robot that works like the PowerVac by itself in the pool. Awesome. And but the only thing is the price tag is like $5,000.
$5,000?
Wow. So, yeah, that's he calls that like his robot vac. You just throw it in the pool and it'll clean it, and you go somewhere else and come back. But the problem with the robotic cleaners, they can't really pick up that, you know, clean a pool the way you would do with a vacuum system. They're not made the same way. So I would say no on that. I wouldn't use them for that. I would just use them for regular weekly maintenance.
Nice. So we'll switch over to the, you know, the podcast side of this, because I mean, when did you start your podcast now?
It was back 58 weeks ago. So what is that? October? No, somewhere back. I don't know. I can't think back. 2017. I'm going to say August.
It's like 4 years.
Or July. Yeah. So I've done one every week. So I have 58 episodes. So
nice.
It's been over a year.
Okay. Very cool. And how's that going for you?
I like it. I think it's something that, you know, I researched it before I did it. Everything I do, I research, and podcasts are the number one medium for information right now. And people don't realize that. They think books and videos, but people love podcasts. And I think they're finally catching on to a lot of different industries. My son's homeschooled, and so there's like a lot of homeschooled podcasters I would listen to. I'm like, hey, I could probably do that for the pool industry. If they could do this for homeschooling, I'll just transfer what they do to the pool industry. So I started a podcast, and I realized I think that one guy was trying it at one time, and he stopped doing it, or a couple guys tried it, but they had like 20 episodes. And so I figured there's no one doing it, and now you guys are doing it too. So I think it's a wide open field, and I don't think people that see each other as competition out there look at it the wrong way. We're not competing against each other. We're helping people get the information they need, and we're providing resources to them. And so there's no competition. It's just something that it's a medium that people can utilize out there on the route and listen to the podcast and get the information in a different way. So yeah, I see it as, go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say, I think you're talking about like the Brett was the one that started his podcast at one point several years ago. I think we had heard him.
I was like 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah.
I think he had like 10 or so episodes. Kind of, we really wished that would have continued, and that's kind of what put us on to that a little bit. Was, you know, that being able to listen to that while you're on your route and stuff is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
and it's unfortunate because that wasn't the big boom for podcasts 4 or 5 years ago. It's only been pretty recent, within the last year or so, that it's really taken off.
Yeah, I met Brett a couple times. He's a really awesome guy. He's done a lot of good things to the industry too.
Yeah, I think it's a great media. I really enjoy it.
So what's your goal for your podcast?
I really don't have my goal is just to keep doing one every week. And I think it fills a gap between watching a video and reading a blog article. You know, there's people that have time to watch a quick 5-minute video, get information, but you can't put everything in a 5-minute video. So, and then you can write an article, and they can read it, and you can get a lot more information out of the article, but you need more time to read it. And then there's the podcast, which you guys understand is that you can just play it while you're working, and you can multitask. You can do many things while you're listening to the podcast. So there's a big gap that fills in between a video and reading an article. And I think a lot of people appreciate me putting the podcast out there, and they can kind of listen while they're working.
Well, I think before podcasts were a thing, really, a lot of people probably listened to your YouTube channels, just had the phone on there in their pocket and listened to a lot of YouTube channels. Because I've done that several times, and I've heard several other pool guys that before that kind of platform was there, they would definitely just put YouTube on for hours and kind of just listen to that. So
That's why I put my podcast on the YouTube channel, which actually it gets more listens on YouTube than it does on the podcast sites. More people listen to the podcast on YouTube than they do on iTunes.
Well, you have a lot more subscribers, I'm sure, on YouTube than podcasts as well, right?
Yeah, that kind of translates into that also. But I think people like listening to music. I listen to music all the time on YouTube, so it's kind of the same concept. You just keep it playing in the background. The only problem with YouTube is the app, and you're not. When you turn the screen off, it turns off YouTube. They got to fix that, you know?
Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot more of that, and that trips me out, I think, because I use Spotify so much that I see a lot of people using YouTube for music, and I'm like, damn, that's crazy. I never
done that really either.
Yeah, just because it drains your battery so much, you know what I mean? And I guess if
you have to have the screen on all the time.
Yeah, you have to have the screen on all the time. So anybody that's, you know, watching, listening to YouTube with the screen on all day, they're just wearing that battery down.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming the feedback's been pretty good on for the podcast.
Yeah, people like it. I think they enjoy the medium of that. They hear me kind of talk on a subject for 20 minutes or interview somebody. I think it's really effective. And I think the good thing about podcasting is you can cover a wide range of subjects you can't really cover out there doing a video. So I think that's the great thing about it. So there's a lot of aspects of the podcast that I think are really good.
Yeah,
I think it's a good thing too because you can record them whenever, you can edit them whenever. You know, like with your YouTube videos, you got to be in the daylight around a pool. But us being able to just kind of come in here whenever. I mean, I edit the podcasts like, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes, or super late sometimes, trying to get it ready. So that's really convenient with that too, as opposed to trying to film videos and stuff like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And we've listened to every single podcast you've pushed out just because it is really that good. It's not. Even listened to all of them before we even knew that we were going to do this podcast with you, just because I thought the information was just so cool. And actually, it's kind of funny. You were talking about the 1099 thing, and you were talking about it in one of your episodes that, you know, you should be subscribing to service industry news and things like that. And that's how, you know, you can get a lot of information. And like after you said that, I was on their website, and I haven't gotten one yet, but I kind of paid for it, so I get the subscription sent to my house and things like that. But I just thought it was kind of cool because you see those magazines, you know, at the trade shows and things like that. And then after listening to you, I think you interviewed somebody from Service Industry News.
Lady,
right?
Yeah, she's the owner of the company.
Oh, that's right. And it was a while back ago, but I just thought that was so cool. And I'm like, you know what? It might not be the most up-to-date information, like kind of a newspaper, and it might not be in the format I like. But at the end of the day, like a community of people are putting that information together. And that is, you know, the whole 1099 situation in California, that is big news. And if, you know, you're subscribing to some kind of magazine or newspaper that's talking about those things, I think you're going to want to be informed on those things. You know, you don't want to be left in the dark to figure out, you know, the hard way.
Yeah, I think the information is critical in the industry. And again, I go back to the very beginning when I talked about the image of the industry and the lack of knowledge in the industry. And I think people don't realize that there's these magazines out there. You interviewed the magazine that they sell at the supply place. What was the name of that one again?
Pool Pro.
Yeah, Pool Pro. And there's several magazines out there also besides that one and in the Service Industry News. And I think all the guys should be having access to those magazines.
Yeah, I just think it's kind of cool that you picked Water Chemistry as like your very first podcast episode, because I don't really think it's a lot of stuff out there on that. So,
yeah, I think the Water Chemistry is one of those things that it can be confusing. There's so many different methods of taking care of a pool. But I think I'm going to do more podcasts on chemistry, too, to kind of help debunk that, too, later on. But it's one of the aspects, too, that I think we need to focus on as an industry.
Yeah, I don't think they give that enough attention. And we've recently gotten a ton of feedback about people wanting to know more about chemistry. And there's just so much to it, and it could alleviate a lot of problems if you really took quality time to figure out water chemistry and, you know, how many times your pool should turn over and, you know, the upside and downsides of different pumps and how often you should be doing filter cleans and things like that. So I think there's so many things to the water chemistry that, you know, it's really important that you really know it in and out. Because at the end of the day, what are we doing? We're making sure that a pool's clear so that people can enjoy it. It's healthy and all those different types of things. So water chemistry is definitely at the top of that list.
Exactly.
Well, can I just move on a little bit from the podcast now into like the Patreon page?
Yeah, I did that. I started that back in October of 2016, and it's turned out to be a really great way to connect. And it's actually the Patreon site is actually just how people join my coaching group. So I use that platform as a way they can join the coaching group that I created. It's a good, safe way they can join and make the payment. And so the coaching program is the big part of that page. And just in the last, since June, I've gotten 41 new subscribers in my coaching program. And I have 120 members now. So one third of them have come from this summer. And it's just really growing. I just got one before I went on the air here. So it's one of those things where no one is doing it. And there's a resource that you could be anywhere. You could be in Texas, Florida, California, Arizona. And what I do is I have a group chat, a group me chat, where you can, when you join, you get invited into this chat, and there's a good 40 or 50 guys and gals in there that are posting all the time, answering questions and comments. And then for $10 a month, you can text me in real time. And for $20 a month, you can call me and text me in real time. So a lot of guys find that, first, they don't believe that they can do that. You know, like, can I actually call him? You know, so that I'm going to call, like, hello? Like, hi, I'm calling you from the coaching group. I'm like, yes, how can I help you, you know? And so I help them through a problem. And so it's really cool, you know, because all the years of knowledge that I have, I can pretty much solve something over the phone or text without having to see the issue.
Does it go right to voicemail if they don't pay their bill or something?
Yeah. I really don't have too many guys do that, but there are a few. I offer discounts on insurance and also Riptide. So I've had like maybe 3 or 4 people join just for that, and then they stop paying. And I haven't figured out what to do with them yet. I mean, I could cancel them out, and they could have their insurance go up or something. But it doesn't happen very often. 98% of the guys, 99% of the guys on there are very honest, and they join because they need the service. They need the guidance from the other guys in the group and from me. So it's something that I think is out of the box too, and I think it works really well in this kind of industry because there's no one else they can turn to. You know, they're starting a business, they have no idea what to do, and I make myself available to them.
That's really cool. How many calls do you think you get a day on that kind of stuff? From that,
right? What the amount of members I have now, I'm spending about an hour and a half a day texting and handling calls and in the group chat. So it's actually taken up a lot of my time. I thought it wasn't going to. I thought it was going to be something that I might have to redo some things and cut back on more stuff in the field because I'm getting messages all the time. Like today, on my phone here, I can scroll through, but I have, you know, just besides calling. I have there's someone texting me. Two more people texting me right now. I have my phone on mute, so it doesn't buzz or ring. But since this morning, the first one came in at like 8 in the morning. Sometimes they come in earlier, but all day long I've had him. There's about, I would say, 30 different text messages from about 10 different guys, and then a couple of phone calls today. So it's definitely taken a lot of my time up, but I really enjoy it because I'm helping them grow their business and troubleshoot things, you know. I just helped a guy recently put a check valve on equipment. It was draining down, as you know, when the check valve is not working. There was no check valve on there to begin with, but it was draining down actually below like the steps, you know, really low. And he's the third company that came there, and I said, well, it's got to be the check valve because there's nothing else. And he's like, well, why is it going so low? Because it's going below the jets. And I said, well, maybe there's a floor jet because sometimes customers will want a jet on their feet when they build a spa. And sure enough, there was two jets on the very bottom of the spa. And definitely the check valve solved that because it was draining down to the bottom of the spa, which is weird. Mm-hmm. It's not typical. But there was floor jets in that spa. So we put a check valve on, and he was the only guy that was able to solve that, you know, the third company to get there. So And that's, you know, I find things like that are important in the industry because, again, it helps his business, but it also helps the image of the industry. Like, you know, someone can actually solve a problem that if he wasn't in my group, he probably wouldn't have, he would have been there'd be a fourth company coming there to look at the problem. But little things like that, you know, from all the experience that I've had over the years, I kind of think there's got to be something that they're missing. I have one spa on my route with the floor jet, so I know that they exist. They don't work, by the way, because physics, you know, the wall jets are going to get all the power. The floor jets are going to get trickling of water. So if you're having a pool built, don't put any jets on the floor. It doesn't work.
It's a good thing it'll be a while before I build a pool.
Yeah.
So why do you feel it's so important to share knowledge?
Yeah, I think it goes back again to my early days when I didn't have anyone I could rely on, you know? So I think it's kind of like one of the services I provide. I see myself out there, and, you know, when I see a young guy looking for something that's pretty simple, I can answer the question and get him to be successful. I wish I had that when I was doing the work. I didn't have that, so I wasn't as successful as I should have been, I think, at a younger age. And I think so it's one of those things where I'm kind of giving back to my generation of guys, you know, that we didn't have that.
That's awesome.
Very cool. So are there any, you know, books or other podcasts or anything else that you would suggest reading or listening to?
I would just, you know, the one I mainly listen to is Dave Ramsey. I'm a big fan of his, so I'll catch a lot of his shows through the podcast. Not a lot of free time. Of course, the Pool Chasers podcast.
Bingo.
Right?
How often does Ramsey push out a podcast?
Oh, he's insane, man. He's got so much stuff going on. He has guys working for him, too, doing podcasts. So just him, but his guys under him. So I looked, I tracked him for a little bit. He puts 100 YouTube videos out a month just on the shows, you know, broadcasting and taping him. And he puts little podcasts out. He puts all his guys puts a podcast out. He has like two other guys doing podcasts for him, so everything is up there. He's got it's really an empire for sure.
Nice. So what I mean, are there any books? I know there was a book that you talked about on I think your website or something like that you suggest, and I think it was more for like, you know, entrepreneurs.
Yeah, there's a lot of books that I really recommend reading. Of course, his book Totally Money Makeover tells you how to do the steps. The Millionaire Next Door is a great book. If you want to be a millionaire, read this book and you'll realize that very few millionaires buy new cars or wear Rolex watches. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, it's a really good book. It's a classic. It's one of my favorites. And of course, I'm a Christian, so the Bible is also on the list there. I think that's important to have some kind of moral compass in your life. That's critical. You know, if anything, you know, depending on your level of faith, I think having a moral compass helps you in business. So I think that's important, too.
Yeah.
And I also like reading for fun. I like history, so I like reading anything by David McCullough. He wrote John Adams in 1776. And my grandfather was a Pearl Harbor veteran, so I love World War II. So I read anything by Stephen Ambrose. He wrote D-Day and Band of Brothers, so... they made that into a TV series also. So history is a real big thing for me. I love World War II. I'm a big World War II buff.
Very cool. And is there any YouTube channels that you like in particular?
Yeah, I watch a lot of different channels. I think when I have time, I like music, so I watch a lot of the music channels. You know, the classical musical instruments, I love those. And what else do I watch? Let me see. I'll pull up my thing. I've been talking for a long time, and my brain is kind of going to mush.
Yeah, we're a couple hours to pull in. Up.
Yeah, so I've never talked this long before. Kind of weird.
This would be like 2 months worth of content for the podcast.
Pretty much. I watch this guy called the Gadget Inspector. He makes drone videos, so I watch some of those. He's pretty cool. He lives in Michigan, so he only films like half the year because the other half he's like snowed in. So he's pretty cool. I like the music ones, the two cello guys. I like the piano guys. So if I'm doing anything, I'll watch stuff like that to kind of relax and entertain myself. But I used to watch a lot more, but I'm just so busy, I don't watch a lot. I watch a lot of pool guys, too. I like River Pools. They're like a fiberglass pool company. They put a lot of good videos up there too. Inyo Pools doesn't put as many videos up as they used to, but they're really good too. So I like, you know, anything pool related, I'll pull up the video and check out their content to see what they're doing. But yeah, I don't really do a lot. I do a lot of production work, so I don't have a lot of time to kind of go out there and watch videos.
Right. Yeah. So you have a, is there a favorite quote that you kind of like and maybe live by?
Yeah, there's a quote here. It's anonymous, but it says, helping one person might not change the world, but it could change the world for one person. So that's, helping one person might not change the world, but it could change the world for one person. So I think that's kind of like the starfish little saying, you know. You heard that one where the girl's walking along the beach. She's throwing starfishes back in that are all washed up. And then an older gentleman's like, well, what are you doing? You know, there's thousands of them. You can't make a difference. She's like, then she throws one more in the ocean and she says, well, I made a difference for that one. So kind of like that analogy, you know.
That's really cool. And it's pretty cool to think that if you do something like that and other people kind of latch onto that and they do the same thing, you pretty much start a movement of everybody helping out. And what if everybody walking on the beach did that? Then thousands would be going back in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Setting a good example.
You can equate that to the industry, because the industry needs to be boosted up, you know. We're not guys out there in tank tops and flip-flops with a pool pole and, you know, dropping a few drops of, you know, tester in there and walking out. We're actually a legitimate industry. And I think like your podcast and hopefully my content will help legitimize the industry to a point where it grows, because it's experiencing a point right now where a lot of young people aren't attracted to the industry. They just don't want to do this kind of work.
Yeah, they don't like getting wet.
Yeah, I don't like getting wet either. I've only fallen in two pools, so.
Oh wow, that's a long time.
I told the story to my group. We had a dinner the other day, and I fell in front of the gardeners, and they thought that was the funniest thing in the world, you know. They were talking in Spanish. It's like, hey, look at the pool guy in the pool.
Oh, that must have been the worst. That's all right. I've wrecked myself pretty much the one time on a pool. Yeah, it sucked. But I saved my phone from going in, so
that was
pretty good.
Small victory there, huh?
Yeah.
So touch a little bit on Dave Ramsey stuff. You know, I know that obviously the second video you ever made was, you know, about being at, you know, debt free and as well as the pool stuff. So why is it so important to you, you know, to live life debt free? And, you know, why have you made that kind of a staple in your life?
Yeah. So, obviously being debt free is not everyone agrees with that philosophy. And, but I think your biggest wealth builder is your income. So if you're not paying anybody anything, all the money you make is yours. So that philosophy is old school. It goes back to the turn of the century, and where the debt wasn't really a big deal. People didn't borrow money. And I think for us, for me and my wife and my son, it gives us more time. Like my wife, she hasn't worked in 10 years. She's a stay-at-home mom because we have no debt, so she doesn't have to go to work. And it gives you more options and more. You have more resources to help people, more time. The fact that I don't owe any money on my properties gives me the ability to do stuff that I'm doing now. I mean, I have the group, and I think the rate that I charge for this coaching thing, I get this all the time from one of the guys in the group who's pretty successful. He's like, you're charging way too little, you know. To text you should be like $40. To call you should be $100 a month, because what you did for my business, you know, I have 300 accounts because of you, and it's such a bargain. But I keep everything like that because I don't need to charge that kind of money to do what I do, because I have a lot of resources now because I'm not paying anybody any money. So that makes you a lot more generous when you're not paying bills every month, that you actually have money to do stuff like that. Like, there's a guy that joined the group. He's in South Carolina, and I had a dinner locally here last week where there was like 16 guys there, and I gave everyone a Pool RX hat and a shirt. And he's like, well, how do I get a Pool RX hat? I said, well, I'll mail you one. You just joined last month, so for $10. And I sent him a hat. I sent him a shirt. I sent him a book. And the package cost $13. The book's $20. And he's only paid me $10. I gave him $30 worth of stuff. But that's how I operate because I can. You know, I'm not driven by money. And that's when you're debt-free, money is not the driving force by what you do. And that makes you a different person. You know, not having to pay someone a mortgage or pay someone a car payment makes the money a lot more, I don't know what the word is. It makes you much more generous. Yeah. You don't think about it the same way. You know, a lot of people hold on to their money in their fists because they have to, because they have to pay this and that. I don't have to do that. I have an open hand because I don't have to pay someone money. And it makes a difference, I think, in how I operate and how I do everything and with everything I do. When I go out to dinner, I always pick up the tab because not to show off or anything, but that's just how I am now, you know?
Yeah, I do too, because nobody has any money.
Yeah, that's you're hanging out with the wrong kind of people then. But it just changes the way you look at things. And I think that's the point I want to get across, that working Dave Ramsey's plan and paying everything off, it's not the fact that you're wealthier than anyone else. It's the fact that you look at money differently. The money doesn't own you. You own the money. And I don't know if that makes sense. It just changes your perspective.
It definitely does. Yeah. And I think all those things are really smart. Even talks about like the baby steps and making sure you have an emergency fund of $1,000 and putting a percentage away for retirement and all these things. And it's pretty cool being on a plan because, you know, some people need that structure and that plan because, in all honesty, I think a lot of that people know they should be doing it, but you don't do it for some reason. But, you know, you get on a plan and you see how it's changed other people's lives and you can kind of, you know, stick to it. You know what I mean? And, you know, maybe you don't need, you know, Starbucks coffee every single morning. Unfortunately, that was one of my vices. And after reading it, I was like, yeah, I probably should get my caffeine at home, but there's something, it's weird because it's kind of like a weird addiction and you think that you can't kick it because it makes your life better. But when you really think about it, it's like so stupid. Like I should just go in there and get a couple of those damn cups and just keep them in my house and fill it up. And I'll just kind of psych myself into thinking that I'm getting Starbucks every morning. But that's just me being honest. You know, we all have our vices, but you know, just kind of reading some of that stuff, cause you talk about it so much. It's like a lot of that makes total sense.
It does. It makes sense. And I think a plan is what you need for anything in life, you know?
Yeah. Are you able to eat out now?
I do. I mean, I eat out a lot now. And in fact, one of the problems is we're probably spending too much money now because we're not watching ourselves as carefully anymore. But you know, it allows me to take all the guys out to dinner and pick up the tab. When I went to dinner with the guys, I made them make a special menu with no prices on it. So I went to the DoubleTree Hotel and I told the manager, well, can you make a special menu? He said, yeah, we can make it without prices. I'm like, okay, do that. Because I don't want the guys to know, you know, I want them to order freely. And you can do stuff like that when you're not paying bills, when you're not in debt. Your life's different, you know? So I guess the takeaway from this is get on Dave Ramsey's plan, work it hard, get out of debt, and you'll have a different life view of things.
That's great advice. Appreciate it. And I think it's really cool that you talk about it so often. So, you know, if my opinion matters, say, you know, keep kind of plugging it out there because I think we all need, a little bit of help.
Definitely.
Yeah, we're kind of going to wrap it up here. Did you have anything you wanted to ask us or anything for your content? Or, I mean, we don't want to give you opportunity to plug whatever you'd like to, but I don't know if there's anything you wanted to touch base on that we haven't yet.
Yeah, I mean, how long have you guys been doing service?
5 years.
Okay. And how many accounts you guys have?
Close to 400.
Yeah, so you have what, like 15 employees?
We have about 10 right now.
10. Okay. Is it pretty hard to get people that will, you know, work in this environment nowadays?
It's probably the most difficult part is finding good help. I think just trying to get people to work to the level that we expect or we want that we work, you know, is difficult. But we want to give the homeowner the best experience possible. So we try to train them that way. And sometimes it's difficult to find somebody that understands that the little things make a difference.
But there's also
what's the name of your company?
Brothers Pool Service.
Oh yeah, you mentioned it earlier. I just thought you were joking, but it's actual name, huh?
Yeah. I know you don't know it because we're not recommended on your website.
Yeah, that's only for the guys that sign up to the coaching group. That's one of the side benefits. So
I guess we
got to
sign up.
actually, but, you get a discount on your insurance, too, for all the guys. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we'll have to talk more about that after this. But yeah. I think we've learned a lot about how we can become better owners and how we can make our service manager even better, because we are so busy, but really the ones that have done the best are the ones that really got like better training and they were taken care of. And we built this kind of environment and, culture just much better, not just saying culture because everybody's saying it now, but really when you see your guys, like asking them, you know, how their weekend was or how their day was. And, you know, I saw this come through. Let me talk to you about that. And just really kind of going above and beyond and taking good care of them. Cause you know, at the end of the day, like they just want a place where they feel comfortable and safe and they can talk to you about anything. And, you know, some people like don't get too close to people. You know what I mean? It's just, it's all business. But this day and age, I don't think that's the case. I think you should, you know, appreciate people. And this is a difficult job and it gets up to 115 degrees and you should treat them like family because they spend more time with you than they do with their own families and they're doing quite a bit. So I think it's almost best to really connect with them the best that you can.
Yeah, I think that's a great attitude to be an owner, you know, because it's like it's like they're part of your family at some point, you know, if they work for you long enough. So I think that's a great attitude. And that's probably why you have so many pools, because you can sustain the employees. You know, I think I was just talking to a guy today that's having a hard time keeping his employees. And it's tough, you know, because a lot of them probably want to start their own business, too. But a lot of them, they have a lot of bills they're struggling with, too. So it's a whole mixed bag when you have an employee. So I think you're doing a great service by having these guys work for you. You know, it's a great thing.
It's definitely difficult. I mean, we've even in July, there was several times where both Greg and I were out servicing pools, you know, to cover routes. And, you know, Kyle, our service manager, is still right now. We still have a small route that's not being covered by somebody. So he's out there every day doing it. So it's definitely the hardest part. It's a struggle for sure. But we just got to do what we got to do. We're not afraid to get our hands dirty out there either. So and that really shows, I think, with them. You know, we definitely try to show them that we're not, you know, we're not hesitant to get out there and do what needs to be done. You know, we've also made a promise. I think it's cool that we don't want to take on pools that we wouldn't want to service ourselves. And we try not to take on repairs that we would want to do ourselves. You know, we try to give them the best possible, leg up, I guess, that, you know, we can give them. And hopefully, you know, most, like I would think 98% of our pools have cleaners or in-floors in them. You know, it's just whatever we can do to help them out, we try to do. And that's kind of a good mentality to have. You know, that way we have the luxury of picking and choosing now, where obviously when you start you don't. But you know, we definitely try to make promises to them that we try to give them the best advantage out there we can. And obviously, yeah, like Greg said, it's super hot and we understand it's not an easy job, so we try to give them as much as we can, you know.
I mean, before this, before we started recording, I mean, we just called back 20 plus people, and those were the calls we didn't get to that left voicemails today and sent them somewhere else, because if we don't have the manpower, we don't have the right people in place, like we're not taking on new pools. And it's pretty crazy because they're all pretty shocked at the way we do business and very impressed. They're like, wow, that's pretty cool. And the way we explain it is because of some of the recent storms, you know, we've gotten a little bit behind and we want to make sure that we take care of our current customer base before we take on any new pools. And they're all extremely understanding of that and think that that's kind of the, you know, the honorable thing to do, because you could easily just tack on, you know, more pools, but what does that do? You know what I mean? We enjoy our weekends and we have little kids, you know what I mean? Like that means a lot more than, you know, a couple extra bucks and a, you know, a weekend out in the field.
Yeah. Like I always tell people, you can make money anytime in your life, but you can't get that time back.
That's right.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah.
And a lot of pool guys that join my group work corporate jobs. That's why they quit their jobs and become pool guys, because they realize that their life is their work and they don't have time for their family. So That's the one benefit of this job. I guess we didn't plug that enough, is that the hours are so flexible. You could do as much work as you want or as little work as you want in this field. And it's a great industry if you're having time management problems at your current job. This is a great industry to get into. You can start at 6 in the morning, finish at noon, or you can start at 6 in the morning, finish at 4. It just depends on what you want to do. And have the weekends off again, because a lot of the corporate world, you're working 6-7 days a week. You don't even have weekends off. So it's definitely a great industry to get into.
For sure.
Yeah, that is the coolest thing. I mean, pick up my daughters at 3 p.m., and then I can come back here or not, or work from home. You know, Ty does the same thing. So it's definitely a luxury to be able to do all that.
Had to turn the light on because it's getting dark in here. I've been talking for over two hours, man.
The sun's going down.
California here. Yeah. So it's great. You guys are doing good, you know, and I think your podcast is going to really take off because I think you're focused on that. That's one of the side things I do is my podcast. So I'm all for promoting you and getting your podcast out there.
Well, we appreciate that. We really do. And, you know, we have this, and I think sometimes we get perceived a certain way, but we have an insane amount of work to do. I mean, being 5 years deep in the pool service and repair side, there's still a ton of work that has to be done to perfect that and have it, you know, run the way that we really want it to run. So I think it's never ending. I think good, you know, business owner and management, they're always trying to perfect their craft and perfect, you know, what they do, because times are changing faster now than ever. So really got to stay on top of it.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, you know, we want to let you kind of plug whatever you'd like to plug. So, you know, for our listeners to check out. So
yeah, I'll just plug my website. Everything is on my website. So if you go to swimmingpoollearning.com, you'll have my YouTube channel link is there. The coaching site link is there. My ebook that I have is there. I have a print book that I just made. I'm pretty proud of it. It took about 2 years to get this in the print.
Oh, wow.
And my son's actually translating this into Spanish, so it should be out within a month. Within a month, I think I'll have the Spanish edition of it. So it's great that he speaks Spanish. He also speaks Mandarin Chinese. So I'll have to get him to do that one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, he's pretty
very
smart
impressive.
Kid.
Congratulations on the book.
Yeah, so the book, I think it's a great resource for homeowners and for the pool service guys. I think it educates everyone on things, and I just like having – I've always wanted to be an author, so one of the goals that I've always wanted to do, and I've reached it. So I'm really proud of the book myself too. And so the website will have everything there, and I definitely think it's a great resource. And – you know, whatever help you're going to need, they can also contact me directly from the website or through YouTube, and I'm definitely willing to help anybody out in that respect. So so I appreciate, you know, that you guys doing this. Like I said, I've never talked for 2.5 hours. It just feels out of the box, you know?
Yeah, and this is our second one today.
Yeah, it's a little much, but we're
wow.
doing
it.
but, crazy. You know, man, it's... We just really have so much respect for you. Like I said, you definitely helped launch our business as well as many others. So, you know, we truly appreciate your time and you taking the opportunity, you know, to come on with us. So thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
So I hope you enjoyed all four parts of the interview with the Pool Chaser podcast show. And I hope you got some more insight on the things that I do on YouTube and also the other stuff I do online with the coaching. And if you're interested in starting a pool business, you can definitely email me or you can join my coaching site. You can go to www.poolguycoaching.com and learn more about the coaching site and all the things that I offer there. So I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. Have a great rest of your week and God bless.
The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show.
Real quick, if you're not using pool service software, try Skimmer free for 30 days at getskimmer.com/poolguy. Again, that's getskimmer.com/poolguy. Skimmer, everything you need to run your pool service business all in one app.